Hey, everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on FinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
First half. Chambliss threw it into harm's way, and the crowd oohs and ahs. And it is good! Right down the middle!
Yowza, yowza, yowza! From the student section behind the goal line on Saturdays to the buzzer beaters of the madness in March, welcome to episode number 2 of Bowl Games and Brackets. I am Joe, and I am joined by my compadre, Darren, and we are here to take you through the world of college football and basketball, from the rivalries and underdogs to the legendary performances. We will be your guides. From your dorm room to the tailgate, we have you covered each and every week. Sit back, relax, and enjoy, and welcome, Darren.
Welcome to you, Joe. Excited to talk about the SEC, the self-proclaimed greatest conference. There is, haven't won a championship in 4 years, but the self-proclaimed greatest, was it 3 years? I'm sorry. They act like they do it all on Saturdays. It's the most thrilling matchups, usually top to bottom, but they haven't gotten over the hump in the last couple of years. The Big Ten has kind of taken it to them a little bit, Joe.
No, that's for sure. They have been struggling, the SEC, to win those national titles. Since Nick Saban left, there's been nothing, zeros across the board.
The way it works. And you know, you have a lot of interesting coaches. You always have great matchups. The rivalries in the SEC are just, I don't know, there's something special about all of them. It's like there's very few matchups. Instead of maybe a Vanderbilt, even though Diego Pavia made that a little interesting. And he also found a way to be the only player ever to make a group of non-interested people dislike Vanderbilt in football. That's hard to do, and that's what Diego Pavia did. That is hard to do. People rooting against Diego Pavia was very interesting last year because Vandy has been a doormat in that conference forever.
That's true. And, you know, this is a conference that when they bring in one team, like at Oklahoma, they bring in a Texas to keep that rivalry going. So it's a very interesting conference. They try to keep – when they brought teams in, they bring them in together. They try to renew rivalries between Texas and Texas A&M. So it's kind of a big conference out there.
Yeah, I don't think A&M was too excited that they got Texas back in.
That's for sure. That's for sure.
The only it's always like who's Missouri's natural rival, right? It's always a bit of a question mark. But it's not like ridiculous. It's just a question.
Is it Arkansas?
I guess it's Arkansas, right? I mean, and then you do we do Tennessee and Vandy and Kentucky and I guess Kentucky goes with South Carolina and
I guess
you know,
so.
You have Georgia, you have Florida, you got Auburn, Alabama, Mississippi State, LSU. Kind of could go with Ole Miss, kind of could go with A&M. A&M could kind of go with Missouri. So it gets a little bit dicey at the end. But the funniest question, trivia always in this conference to me, Joe, is which two schools are actually closest in proximity?
I'm gonna take a guess here. I'm going to say Georgia and Florida.
Alabama and Mississippi State.
Wow.
They're not that far apart. One's on the border on one side, on the eastern part of Mississippi. The other one's on the border of the western part of Alabama. They're actually the closest in proximity. They do play a lot. In football, it's usually a one-sided affair. Basketball usually too, but football more so. But, yeah, SEC is always fun to talk about. We have 16 schools, all with a dream and a vision. Everybody in this conference thinks they can make some noise, every single one of them. And we're going to get into it tonight, right, Joe?
I think so. I think that's what we're going to look at tonight. We're going to start with the SEC. And, Darren, I know you're going to kick it off with a team that thinks they can win the whole enchilada in the Texas Longhorns.
Well, Texas is interesting, right, because they have Arch Manning. He was self-proclaimed the greatest college football player ever before he even stepped foot on campus. Couldn't win the job from Quinn Ewers in his freshman year. And nothing against Arch. He was a kid. Quinn Ewers was a bit more of a veteran. Ewers played very well for Texas, so it's not a shot. But nonetheless, you know, people were waiting for Arch, and then Arch goes out in week one last year and really doesn't have much of a game against Ohio State. Really struggled in the first month. Kind of built as the season went on. I mean, his stats was still pretty strong overall. It just didn't start off that way. He seemed like maybe he padded against weaker teams, but I just thought he got better. I just thought Arch was a little bit more consistent. And, you know, you got Sarkisian back running that offense. A lot of cool things to like about what they're going to do on that offense. And amongst the biggest is they have two big-time wide receivers. You got Ryan Wingo, who's back, which is great. And they take Cam Coleman from Auburn, who had almost 100 catches, 1,300 yards last year. He was a stud on a team that couldn't throw. So you can only imagine what's going to happen for Cam Coleman on a good squad, right?
That's true.
I mean, the running backs, they get Hollywood Smothers from NC State. You know, if for nothing else, the name is great. But he was a good back at NC State. And they get Relik Brown from Arizona State. And let's be honest, Relik Brown is going to be a stud on this team. He's really good. O-line adds a couple of starters. They should be better than last year, which they needed to be. I mean, there's a lot of things to like on the offense. Defensively, they're stacked in the front seven. And they get Will Muschamp back, who was a defensive coordinator. It's like in the NFL when North Turner would get the head coaching job and you knew he'd suck at it. But then he'd come back in and as a D coordinator and nobody could do anything against him. And that's what Will Muschamp, they're hoping, is going to bring to them. And they got this little guy they transferred from Arkansas, Ian Greffard, 6'5", 378, Joe. I think he'll be able to clog up the middle. Also get Hero Canoe back. I mean, they got a lot of players. Colin Simmons from the edge, 21 sacks in his last 2 years. Ty'Anthony Smith and Raheem Biles come over at linebacker to help out. Secondary, hard to replace it when you lose two guys to the pros. But, you know, they do get Bo Masco from Rutgers. How often do you say Rutgers transfer is important? But for this team, it is. And Jelani McDonald is back, and he'll be kind of like the glue back there. But here's what Texas is looking at, all right? They got to cut back on the penalties. They got to rush the passer against good teams because they got all their sacks against the weaker squads. When they were playing good squads, they get one sack a game on average. And they got to be better on third down against the good teams. Yeah, they do great against the mediocre teams. And it's hard to say any SEC team is mediocre, Joe, as you know.
But yeah.
The fact is that when they were going up against really good squads, they could not convert on third down. That has to change this year for Texas to do anything, to have to do the damage they need to do. And the fact of the matter is, they're talented enough to go pretty far. Texas is one of the favorites, Joe. There's no arguing. There's no denying it.
No, they are one of the favorites. But I have to tell you, I think Kirby Smart's got Georgia on the mind. And I think Georgia's going to be back in the picture this year. I mean, first off, you have a quarterback named Gunner. You got to be throwing the ball down the field. So Gunner Stockton is back. Last year, 24 touchdowns and only 5 picks. And they got Nate Frazier, who's returning, and they brought in from Kentucky Dante Dowdle to help run the ball with Frazier as a good backup. They got an offensive lineman. They brought in a brand-new 5-star recruit in Ikenne Agboko, and they have a wide receiver from Georgia Tech, Isaiah Kenyon, coming in, and they have returning of the tight end Lawson Lucky. Now, they did lose the wide receiver Zacharian Branch, and he was a big part of their offense last year, but these other guys are going to come in and replace him. Now, Kirby's got to keep the offense rolling, but on the defensive side, they finished last in sacks with only 20 last year. When does Georgia have no defensive pressure? They've got to do a better job. They have a sophomore defensive lineman, 6'4", 310, Elijah Griffin, a 4-star edge coming in, P.J. Dean. They got safety K.J. Bolden and the cornerback Ellis Robinson, who are both headed to the NFL probably at the end of the year. Both could be first-round picks. Now, they also had a younger team last year. So this year, they have a lot of second and third year players, which, as we've seen with this new bowl playoffs and football playoffs, the teams with experience do well. And this could be something that could bode well for Georgia this year, is that they do have a little bit more experience. They're looking good, and the experienced teams have been thriving in the playoffs the last couple of years. So I'm looking for Georgia to have a little bit of a return from where they were. They took a step back. You know, this the last couple of years, they haven't had a top five recruiting class since 2016. And that's shocking that they fell out in that. But they're coming out late September. They got a game against Oklahoma. Then they have Alabama on October 10th. Then they follow with Auburn. And by the end of October, they play Florida. So they're going to know pretty much late September, early October, where they stand in this conference. But they get past those first few games, they got a good shot of running the table here and getting themselves back into the SEC championship game, and then eventually back into the college football playoffs and the national championship picture.
No, Georgia's going to be solid. I mean, we have a couple of questions to ask about them, and we'll do it when we do a little roundtable in a couple of minutes.
Okay.
Another team looking to bounce back, Joe. The Crimson Tide of Alabama. And the big question is Kellen DeBoer the guy? Is he the right guy? Now, I'm just going to give you a quick stat on this before we get into it, and we'll talk about this in a little while too. It took Saban through 2 years, had won 19 games. Then he won the Natty in year three. Stallings won 18 games in his first two, won the Natty in year three. Took Bear 20 games, to 3 years to win 20. Then he won the Natty in year four. DeBoer's got 20 already. He's already ahead of all three of those guys. Now, that doesn't mean anything. I get it. But this could be – is this the year if they keep the consistency of third year with the most amount of wins? Is Kellen DeBoer going to be able to hoist the trophy at the end of the year? That's what it comes down to. And I'll tell you this, there's a lot of questions about this team. First of all, who's going to play quarterback? I mean, Austin Mack comes in from Washington, followed DeBoer. But the redshirt freshman, Keelon Russell, is a super talent. So we don't know who's going to get the ball right away. The running game was non-existent last year. This is Alabama. The running game is supposed to be highly existent. Now they have nothing. You know, big-time recruits transfer out. I mean, there's a lot of things that are a little different with Alabama. But what does return is Ryan Coleman Williams. Now, I remember when he was just Ryan Williams, put the hyphens in there this year. He had a lot of drops last year. Remember him as a freshman. They were going back and forth between whether he or Smith in Ohio State was the best receiver. Smith pulled away last year. Williams had a few drops. Coleman Williams, I should say. I'm sorry. But he's gifted. And if he could just stay a little bit, you know, keep his head about him, he's going to be just fine. No one's going to be able to cover him, just like they can't cover Smith. Lots of your Brooks and Rico Scott fill out the receiver core. They're set. Daniel Hill is a powerhouse running back, but Bama was 125th in the nation in rushing. 125th, Joe. It's like a crime. How could it be? And then the other thing is the O-line has all these transfers. They got a gel. So there's a lot of questions on offense. You don't doubt that DeBoer's going to get them moving and Ryan Grubb at the OC, but they haven't really consistently moved the ball. You expect this Washington offense to come in here and be high-powered, but they're going to have to do it through the run to set up the pass, in my opinion. The defense was number one against the pass in the SEC, and they're going to be great again. Sablian Brown and Keon Sab are back to lead the way. The Bama secondary is going to be just fine. Yonzi Pierre is back to rush the passer. He's elite. And you know what the funny part about it is? He was up there in all the statistics, and you didn't hear about him at all. When was the last time an Alabama superstar edge rusher wasn't talked about? Because they were talking about everybody else in the damn conference. Leaving this kid down is kind of funny because he's going to be great. He's going to be elite. Linebacker upgraded with the addition of Caleb Woodson from Va Tech. It's a good signing. He's going to help them out. The DTs are huge. The defensive tackles are monstrous. They just have to perform consistently. They have depth. They have size. Now they have to be a little bit more physical in the backfield. You know, listen, when you look at Alabama, there's a lot of questions. But the one question that doesn't exist is the initial on that helmet. When you see Alabama come, you expect this team to be good. Roll Tide! Alabama's going to be stronger this year than people think. One man's opinion. Joe, I know that you also following this very, very closely. And you're going to touch on the team that went furthest of all the SEC squads last year. You want to tell us a little bit about the Rebels of Ole Miss?
You know, Darren, it's amazing that we're talking about them as the fourth team right now in the SEC. And this is a team that made it to the semifinals last year and almost made it to the championship game. If Carson Beck doesn't run it in from 3 yards out for Miami, Trinidad Chambliss and Pete Golding is leading Trinidad Chambliss and Ole Miss into the championship game against Indiana. And nobody knows how that would have finished up. It may not have been an Indiana blowout after all. Interestingly enough, Pete Golding showed up at the last minute to help out Ole Miss. You know, Lane Kiffin, we're going to talk about him in a little bit, but he left. He left him at the altar. Pete Golding stepped in. He had he took Trinidad Chambliss, who did win two championships in Division II at Ferris State, so he already had a little bit of a championship pedigree. He turned out in the SEC last year, 3,900 yards, 22 TDs, 3 interceptions. He rushed for another 500-plus yards and another 8 touchdowns. But now, not only is he coming back, they're returning with Kewon Lacy as running back. He was number 3 in the country with 1,567 yards, and he was number 2 in TDs with 24 rushing TDs. They have Deuce Alexander returning at the wide receiver, and they added 2 wide receivers from not wide receiver U, but from Syracuse, and they are Darnell Gill Jr. and Jonte Cook II. Now, they did lose 2 wide receivers, 2 big receivers to the NFL, which combined for 116 catches and 1,700 yards in Harrison Wallace III and Dejane Stribling. Now, Ole Miss, though, under Pete Golding, didn't miss a beat. They also brought in the number 2 transfer class this year. Now, they brought in on the defensive end Blake Purchase from Oregon, and he's replacing they lost a couple of guys to LSU with Lane Kiffin. They lost Prince Umanalayim and TJ Dottery, but they also brought in the ACC's Defensive Freshman of the Year, linebacker Luke Ferrelli from Cal, to anchor their linebacker core. They brought in Auburn's cornerback Jalen Crawford to work with their junior cornerback Jalen Braxton. And on the defensive tackle, returning is Will Eccles, who had 11.5 tackles for loss plus 5 sacks, and he's the defending Sugar Bowl defensive MVP. So Pete Golding, he steps in from the assistant coach role to the head job. Ole Miss didn't do any search whatsoever. They promoted him right away. He's keeping the job. He's keeping a lot of things status quo. They should be in good hands. Trinidad Chambliss is back after that whole thing at the end of the year, going back to court and getting the extra year. But Ole Miss is primed. They have a shot now. They do start out. The big game on the calendar is September the 19th, week 3, against LSU. Then they go to Florida. They go to Vandy, Missouri. They go into Texas. And they're hosting Auburn and Georgia. And then they got Oklahoma. But that LSU game on the 19th, it's a home game for them at Ole Miss. They all have it circled. It's going to be a big game, and that's going to be a big statement to going to Ole Miss's season for the whole year. That could be a good jumping off point for Ole Miss. I think they're going to contend again, and I can see them making it far into the college football playoffs once again. Now, I know you're looking at you looked at Alabama, you looked at Texas, and now you're looking at the Boomer Sooners. The Oklahoma Sooners. And what do you got?
Boomer Sooner, baby. Brent Venables. What a year. He was hot seat to the playoff, to a 17-0 lead in the playoff, to a collapse, to Oklahoma's got a really, really good defense and a really, really good shot to get back to the playoff. But there's some question marks to go through. Last year, the offense struggled. John Mateer came in, a very highly touted out of Wazoo. But the thing was, he was hurt. So now no one's talking about John Mateer. Does Mateer go back to the form of 2 years ago? If Mateer can play like he did at Wazoo, it's going to be a big deal for this team. Oklahoma will have the quarterback that can get everything going. The O-line's going to be improved. They have 3 starters back. They get Arkansas transfer and Marion Harris up front. They got better depth. O-line's going to be good. Xavier Robinson back at running back, 6'2", 238, built just like you and I, Joe. He's a monster. And then Isaiah Santana is back to lead the wide receiver corps. They don't have a great corps, but they have a good enough corps to get through. The defense is really good. Kip Lewis and Owen Heineke combined for 150 tackles, 7 sacks, 22 and a half tackles for loss. They're good. And you know what? They're back. They're going to be outstanding. Pass rush has a ton of options. Nobody's great. But Taylor Wayne should lead this group. I mean, he had 7 sacks last year. Secondary returns the brothers, Joe. The brothers, Peyton and Eli Bowen. One's a safety, one's a corner. They do a great job back there. They really do. They have enough offense and defense to get over the top. But here's the question, Joe, and this is really what it comes down to. After opening the season at home against UTEP on the 12th, on the 4th, they go to Michigan. Okay, go to the Big House week 2. Come back for New Mexico, should get that one. Then they go to Georgia. They come back and they get the Red River rivalry right after that against Texas. They have to go 2-1 in those games to really have a shot, in my opinion. They still have to go to Mississippi State. They still got to go to Florida. They still have Texas A&M on the schedule. They got to visit Missouri, and they have to host Ole Miss, too. The schedule's tough. That Michigan game that no one's going to start scheduling in about 2 years from now is brutal because no one wants to lose that game at a conference because you're playing 9 tough in-conference games. So that's really the only thing that I think can hold Oklahoma up is the schedule. But Venables, he's built a good defense down there. Offensive, Mateer can be the guy. Oklahoma can do some damage. But Oklahoma's interesting, but probably the most interesting team out there right now in the SEC is the LSU Tigers. If for none other reason than that everybody hates the damn head coach except for the Go Tigers. Joe, tell me about LSU.
You're right. And I think the big question is, how is Lane Kiffin's gonna time at LSU gonna end? Is he gonna get fired? Is he gonna leave middle of the season? Is he gonna get fired at the Baton Rouge Airport? I mean, he has left every job every conceivable way, including his pro job with the Raiders, where it's like it's craziness with this guy. But he wants to be at the top of the mountain in college football, and he always seems to steal the spotlight every once in a while where he is. He doesn't stay long, but maybe LSU is a long-term spot for him. Right now, he had brought in the number one transfer class. He turned around, he brought in 40 different transfers. A lot of them are from Ole Miss, but he also brought in the number 13 freshman class, and he brought in 18 newcomers. He brought his offensive coordinator, Charlie Weiss Jr., from Ole Miss. And he brought in a transfer quarterback and Sam Leavitt from Arizona State. Now, ASU, he was good there. He was hurt last season. But interestingly enough, the time that he was good with ASU, they had a running back that we know now with the New York Giants of Cam Scatterboo. So that helps out too. But he brought in the number one offensive tackle, Jordan Seaton from Colorado. Wide receiver, Jace Brown from K-State. And Eugene Wilson III from Florida. He brought in Trey Brown III from Old Dominion. He revamped this whole passing game. And Winston Watkins from Ole Miss. He has his returning running back. He's a big fella at 5'9", Caden Durham, who rushed for 505 yards last year, and he'll be leading the running game this year. But LSU is back to also being DB University. They have cornerbacks returning in DJ Pickett and PJ Woodland. They're bringing back linebacker Devon Keyes, and they have two new top defensive tackles that they brought in. First, they brought in an edge, two guys on the line, TJ Dottery and Prince Will Umalamelin. I always screw up this guy's name, but they're both easy coming from Ole Miss.
Joe, easy for you to say.
I hear you. But they also brought in two top defensive tackles from their freshman class in Lamar Brown, who's a homegrown kid from Baton Rouge, and from New Orleans, Richard Anderson. So he's recruiting in-state. He's bringing in the South guys. He's bringing in the New Orleans guys and the Baton Rouge guys. Lane Kiffin is turning it around. But he's wore out his welcome in Alabama, Tennessee, Ole Miss. He's been everywhere. Everywhere he goes, he leaves a trail of disaster. September 19th, they are waiting for him in Ole Miss. They are waiting for him. And then from there, right away, we're going to get a quick answer. They're going up September 5th against Clemson. I know Clemson, we're going to preview them next week, but Clemson is not the Clemson of old. But still, Dabo's not going to let this team walk all over them either. So I think LSU is going to come out of the gate. It's going to be a tough one with Clemson. Then they got the Ole Miss game. It's going to be interesting to see. I'm just worried that how Lane Kiffin, how his term is going to end in LSU, because it's either going to end lifting a natty or it's going to end in a complete disaster.
I think the latter, but we'll get into it. We'll find out what's going on as that goes on, Joe.
I hear you. Now you're looking at, I think you got a team in Tennessee, the Volunteers.
Absolutely. We'll go with the Tennessee. I have two teams I like left, Tennessee and Texas A&M. We're going to start with Tennessee, though.
Okay.
Okay. Let's go to the Vols real quick, okay? Tennessee, you got Josh Heupel, right? He's been the guy. He's been the guy that has won double-digit games in two of his first four seasons. You know, nobody really has done that. No one really talking about him. They had a lot of drama last year with Nico, you know, in, out, the whole thing. I'm just loading up their schedule. I apologize for a second. But Tennessee, yeah. You know, without the drama, let's see what Heupel can do. They have uncertainty at quarterback. They have three guys. We're still not sure. The veteran is a guy named Ryan Staub, who comes in from Colorado, right? But they have the redshirt freshman George McIntyre and the true freshman Faison Brandon. I think McIntyre gets the job, but it's going to be exciting. But here's the thing. I trust Heupel with whichever quarterback he gets. He does a good job. They didn't get Aguiar till what, August? And he had a very good year last year. So I think Heupel is kind of like that quarterback whisperer. I think he'll do a great job. Running back position in good hands with Deshaun Bishop, 1,100 yards. You know, listen, the only thing is he's not Samson. It was there 2 years ago, but he's really, really good. Wide receiver is great depth. Brazil, Braylon Staley lead the way. They're good. The O-line returns four starters. The offense will be fine as long as the quarterback can make the plays and doesn't play too young, and I do believe it's going to be one of the two young guys. The defense gets Jim Knowles. I mean, Jim Knowles comes from Penn State. Before that, he won a championship with Ohio State. Jim Knowles has won everywhere he's been. This is a huge upgrade for Tennessee. Might be the biggest offseason signing they have is Knowles. That's going to be really big. The top three linebackers return, plus they bring Amari Campbell in from Penn State to follow Knowles. They're set. Tyree Weatherby needs to get to the quarterback from the edge. He's got to be the next guy. Tennessee always produces these guys that just rush the quarterback. This year it's going to be Weatherby. He's got to be the guy. Problem with this team last year, same as a lot of teams in the SEC, the secondary must be better. Okay, this team just has to do a little bit better job of getting off the field on third down. But, you know, and they also have to get better on offense with time of possession. They had all these quick strike plays, and the defense is on the field too long. So there's a lot of things to look at. Week two, they go to Georgia Tech, one of those out-of-conference games. Not as scary as, you know, going to Michigan, but you know what I mean. But they get Tennessee. They host Texas in week five. High noon game. I'm assuming that'll be the Fox game. Noon our time. Be 11 a.m. in the Central, the whole thing. They follow that up with Auburn at home, and then go to Arkansas. The schedule isn't brutal. Then they host the third Saturday in October, right? So they have that early part of the schedule, which is not bad. They don't really have a game where you say to yourself, oh, my God, they don't have a shot, or it's going to be really tough until they go to Texas A&M on November 14th. Every other game, you feel like they're in. The schedule makers were kind to them. Not that Texas is easy, but they get them in Knoxville. And you know what? And you play them in Neyland, there's a shot here. Take that little ferry across the Tennessee River, and a lot of exciting things happen. I think the Vols are going to have a monster year because of the schedule and because of the talent, and I love Knowles as the defensive coordinator. Joe, one last squad that you wanted to touch on that you think is a high competitor. That team would be the Florida Gators with a brand-new coach of their own.
The Gator Chop. And they could be Gator bait back in Florida again. John Sumrall comes in, new coach. He was with Troy, and he won two Sun Belt championships. He took Tulane to the American title game, so he's been a leader before. He brought in a new offensive coordinator in Buster Faulkner from Georgia Tech, and he brought with him Aaron Filo as his quarterback, and he also brought in Eric Singleton Jr., who was at Georgia Tech and went to Auburn as well. So he's also returning a couple of wide receivers for Florida. And Vernell Brown II, who had 40 catches for 500-plus yards, and he also is their punt returner. And then he has running back Jaden Ball, who rushed for over 1,000 yards and 8 rushing TDs. On the offensive line, he did bring in a lot of transfers, and he's got to get that offensive line settled. But then he also brought in on the defensive side Brad White from Kentucky. And he's returning Miles Graham, their leading tackler, linebacker, and the safety Bryce Thornton, who is their second leading tackler. They're also returning from injury L.J. McCray. Interestingly enough, some role got off to a good schedule for him. He's avoiding this year Miami and South Florida in their schedule, and they replaced him with Florida Atlantic and Campbell. Avoiding LSU, Texas A&M, and Tennessee, and instead they're going to get Auburn, Missouri, and South Carolina to replace them on the schedule. So their doors are opening up a little bit. A team that was 4-8 last year and 2-6 in the SEC has a good chance to maybe go 5-4 in the SEC and maybe put up an 8 or 9 win season in the regular season. So Florida could be back. Hopefully some role with the team that he's got is, you know, in the schedule, they're going to have a good chance of turning it around. Hopefully it's not a false positive because they are going to have some tough games in there, but it looks like this team could be well on the way of coming back to the top of the SEC. But I still think they'll be middle of the road this year, but maybe a couple of breaks here and there, they could get to the upper tier.
Florida and always had these brutal scheduling, right? They always got killed. This year, not as bad.
Not as bad. Yeah, well, that's just the way it goes. Now, you have one more team you want to look at in this top tier, right?
Well, yeah. To me, Texas A&M, they had a great year. Lost to Miami in the playoff 10-3 in a game where, you know, a couple of ill-timed interceptions by Marcel Reed, one in the red zone that should have tied it up, kind of hurt this team. This is what we get with Texas A&M. You know what? You get the 12th man, you get Kyle Field, you get the whole thing. It's about as exciting an atmosphere as there is. Joe and I, bucket list, we're going to get to Kyle Field one of these days. Mike Elko's a defensive genius. Did it at Duke, did it at A&M. Kept Miami to 10 points, not easy to do. Kept Tony under check. I mean, Beck had ups and downs, and they kept him mostly down until that touchdown with a minute to go. And they get Marcel Reed back. Kid was really good last year. Kid is ready to go, ready to take the next step. Problem with him last year, 12 picks, including a couple in that championship game, and then the playoff game, I should say. The running backs are back. Reuben Owens, Jamarian Morrow, they're good. They're real good. Wide receivers, they lose Casey Concepcion, but they bring back Mario Craver. Ashton Bethell-Rosman's back. Bama transfer, Isaiah Horton joins the squad. They're going to be fine. O-line needed to replace 4 starters. Always a question mark. They spent all their money to do it, though. They put all the Texas A&M rich oil money in, and they got a whole new line. So if they gel, the talent is there. Now it comes down to if they're going to be able to put it together. The defense should be good. It's Elko. It's going to be good. Jamie and Sanford and transfer Ray Coney from Tulsa. They're going to be great at linebacker, okay? The safeties are excellent in Ratcliffe and Brooks. They're back. I mean, and they're going to be great. The DTs are strong. Hicks is back, and you add Angelo McCollum from Illinois and C.J. Mims from North Carolina. They're good. They're real good. The edges are unproven. And Texas A&M has had great edges over the last few years. They may not be as good as they were last year, but they still should be really good. They get Saka in from Northwestern. Again, we talked about Rutgers and Syracuse transfers. Why not Northwestern too? And then you get Henderson from San Diego State, who had a monster year, and San Diego State's defense was monstrous. The schedule's a little tougher, okay? Again, I don't think it's brutal, right? They go week 2. They have Arizona State at home. They have to go to Death Valley in week 4, but that's the week after Ole Miss goes in. So now we're going to figure, or they go to Ole Miss, and we'll see if there's any kind of jet lag from that. They go to Missouri, which is always a challenge. And then October 24th is the big one. They go to Bama. We're going to find out if they're for real when they go visit Bama. And they get Oklahoma November 21st, and obviously they play Texas to end the season. Can they be as good on third downs as they were last year? 23% was all that teams could convert to third downs against them last year. It was amazing. And can Reed progress and not turn the ball over? That's the only thing that keeps Texas A&M from being elite. If Reed takes the next step, this team's going to be right there. Defensively, I still think they're going to be really strong, but a couple of the pass rushes are going to have to emerge. Joe, we've covered the top 9. Normally, we sit there in a conference. We'll go through the ACC. We'll be trying to scrape for 4. We're in the SEC. We go through 9. Tell me this. tell me why Georgia should be the team to beat, Joe, because there's some question marks on this team. I mean, do they have the go-to receiver? I mean, I know they have the transfer coming in, but do they have someone that's going to get them the first down on third and long? Does Gunner have the guy he can rely on? That's really what the question is for me.
I think that's – we're going to find that out early and often, but I do think he does in Isaiah Kanyon coming in. He also has Lawson Lucky coming back, the tight end, so he might be going to him a lot. I think Gunner has got to – he's got to step it up. You know, Carson Beck left Georgia, goes to Miami, and gets to the national championship game. So there's something to be said for that. I think Gunner Stockton, he's got it. I think Kirby's got it. You know what? They've been there a long time. You know, experience, like I said, is going to make a difference. And that's where I wonder if Arch Manning doesn't have too much pressure on him to be, you know, Peyton and Eli's nephew and Archie's grandson. Is that going to be, you know, and he's got Sark as a head coach. There's a lot of pressure there in Texas. The eyes of Texas are on you there. And I'm wondering.
Arch play well against anybody that's really good yet?
No.
He played a little bit better down the stretch, but has he been really good against a good team? Until he does that, it's really hard to say that he's ready to be that that quarterback. Everybody's like, oh, he's the first pick of the draft. We don't know that. There's a lot of good quarterbacks. Sam Levitt could have a bigger year at LSU.
Yeah.
Chambliss is a star player. There's a lot of guys in this conference that can play. Gunner Stockton's going to be good. Yeah. Marcel Reed, we just talked about, is going to be really good. And, you know, we're going to get to Mississippi State later, and I'll touch on their quarterback, but kid's a stud. There's a lot of guys that are going to be in the same level as Texas.
They got Ohio State, and we talked about Ohio State in the Big Ten preview. They're coming for it. Ryan Day has got these guys ready to go. Matt Patricia, you know, you're going up – when you go up against Matt Patricia, he might not have – he's got pro-level talent on the defensive side, and he's an NFL pro-level defensive coordinator. They're going to throw the kitchen sink at this kid. And it's kind of ironic because Matt Patricia game planned against both his uncles in Peyton and Eli. So it is going to be interesting. You know, I don't know if Arch Manning is going to be able to step up and handle the pressure. And, you know, he is only going to be a sophomore. He is only going to be a sophomore. So, you know, the other guys we mentioned are juniors, seniors, and fifth-year seniors, sixth-year seniors, and Trinidad Chambliss. So he is going up against guys that have years and years on him at being top-level quarterbacks.
Well, here's the thing. If they don't run the ball, Joe, it don't matter. They have to run the ball. I know they brought in Hollywood Smothers. I know they brought in Relique Brown, who I think is going to be really good. They have to be consistent running the ball. Otherwise, it doesn't matter. Arch will not be able to get it done alone with his arms and his legs. He'll need a little bit more.
And now my other question to you is Brett Venables.
Yep.
Where does Oklahoma have to finish for him to – is he off the hot seat or is he going to be back on if they don't get to the SEC championship game or get into the semifinals of the playoffs?
He's got to be 9-3 to stay without anybody busting his horns. I mean, if he makes the playoff, obviously it's great. He made it last year. But the Boomer Sooner crowd is not excited about a 17-0 collapse against Bama. So he's got – you know, that's a sour taste in everybody's mouth. It's going to – for him this year, it really comes down to Mateer. If Mateer can be the guy that they thought they were getting last year, totally different animal, totally different player. Very – they could be exciting on offense with him. But Venables, the defense was amazing last year. Are they going to be able to duplicate that? That's not easy to do. So we have some question marks there. Joe, quick question for you. Has Lane Kiffin ever won anything?
God, no, he's a disaster.
But everybody so loves on this he guy. Quits his team two-thirds of the way through the season, three-quarters of the way through the season. Well, not really three-quarters, but right before the playoff.
Yeah.
And everybody's acting like he's a god. What has Lane Kiffin done?
You know, that's the thing. You would think he was Nick Saban going back to LSU.
He's not.
I mean – That's the thing. Everybody's got this whole thing. When he went to USC, when he went to the Raiders, when he went to Tennessee, everywhere he goes, everybody thinks he's going to be the savior. And he's proven nothing. Nothing. I just want to know how it's going to end because I think it's going to end with a disaster in LSU.
I also get nervous with LSU with 40 transfers. I mean, that's a lot of
guys. You got to get these guys on the same page.
Transfers. Everybody does 25, 30. The LSU has 40. I mean, early in the season, they can get picked off by lesser squads if they're not gelled and they're not together. Listen, Death Valley is going to be a crazy place to watch games, and Lane Kiffin will bring some excitement. Don't get me wrong. And it's always fun to watch a game. You know, we've never it's fun to watch a game on TV at Death Valley.
Yeah. But they got Clemson, Louisiana Tech. Then they go to Ole Miss, Texas A&M at home, McNeese at Kentucky, Mississippi State at Auburn. Then the gauntlet, Alabama and Texas at home, at Tennessee and at Arkansas. So Alabama and Texas coming in the beginning of November, that's going to be by then we'll see. They might only have two losses at that point.
Well, we're going to find out.
You know,
we're going to find out.
The one team, you know, I'm thinking, the more I look at it, there's a chance Ole Miss on their schedule. Louisville, Charlotte, LSU, if they get past LSU at Florida and at Vandy, they get by there. They got Missouri at home. They got at Texas, but then Auburn at home, Georgia at home, at Oklahoma, Wofford and Mississippi State. There is a chance that their toughest road game is at Oklahoma, that they could actually run the table, Ole Miss.
Well, it all comes down to is Pete Golden really the guy? I mean, listen, he had a nice run in the playoffs, but now this is his team. This is his plan.
Oh, yeah.
This is his squad. This is his transfers. This isn't the old time where you had the same players come in a year in, year out. This is, I know he gets Chambliss back, which helped.
Yep.
But now Golding has to do something that we don't know if he could do. He's got to sit there and make all the decisions himself rather than letting it go on autopilot, and let's see what they can do here.
Because now he did have the experience. He had three games with them. He had the two playoff wins, and then he had the loss.
I get it, but that was on autopilot already. That was Lane Kiffin's team that he took over. This is Pete Golding's team.
I hear you.
Different animal, so we're going to find out.
Well,
I love Tennessee's schedule. I think Tennessee's got a shot to get to the playoff again.
Heupel, 5 years. And Josh Heupel keeps him in the games. Sometimes you wish he was still slinging the ball down the field for you. But, you know, one of the things is he is a good coach. And, you know, Tennessee has a chance. Yes, they do. You know, this is the one thing about the SEC. We joked about it last week that the Big Ten is the conference of champions. But I think the SEC from 1 to 16 is a little bit deeper than the Big Ten when we get down to it. Because there are legitimately 9 teams that could easily – find their way into the playoffs in this conference.
And there's another 7 that sit there and say, if a couple things go right for us, we can find a way too.
Yeah.
That's the funny part. I mean, do I believe all 7 can?
No.
But it is possible, Joe. It really is possible. I mean, while we're on that, I mean, again, we talked about Texas A&M also. I really think that if Marcel Reed takes the next step and Elko's a great defensive coach and that home field is sick, I do think A&M has a shot too. So I really think A&M's alive. But let's talk about a couple of the teams we haven't touched on. Let's give a real quick little 3-and-out on, I don't know, who do you want to kick it off with? Auburn? Who is it you want to kick off with?
I could talk about Auburn. We got Alex Golish coming in at coach. He's from South Florida, where he had a top-5 offense. He's bringing in from South Florida his quarterback, Byron Brown, who had 3,100-plus passing yards, 28 TDs. They led the nation in total offense. Ran for 1,000 yards with 14 touchdowns as well. They have a strong defense and a solid kicking game at Auburn coming in. And their road games this year are going to be Tennessee, Ole Miss, Georgia, and Alabama. And that's where their problem is going to be. I don't see them winning any of those 4 road games. So already the best they could possibly do is 5-4. And they're hosting Florida September 19th. So if they lose that game, they could be 4-5 in the conference. So I think Auburn might be a year or two away, but he's laying some good groundwork, and I think Golish will be okay there.
Okay. Now,
who do you want to talk about?
I'll kick it off with Missouri.
Okay.
Eli Drinkwitz has done a great job at Mizzou. This team is always around. No one wants to go to Columbia. They're good. They're real good. Listen. Ahmad Hardy has rushed for 3,000 yards over the last 2 seasons. Big-time running back. They got 2 good receivers coming in through the transfer portal in Caden Lee and Caleb Goody. The big thing is Bo Prabula out. Austin Simmons in from Ole Miss, okay? He didn't play, really. It was Chambliss' team. Is Simmons able to take this team to another level? Bo Perbula, not a good thrower of the football, a good runner. Yeah, you know, Missouri, Drinkwitz will keep this team competitive. They'll be tough at Columbia. But what it comes down to is, you know, and the O-line has changes, but Missouri's O-line is like Iowa's. They're always good, and you just plug them in and they play. They'll go as far as Austin Simmons can take them. And that'll determine what kind of a bowl game they get, in my opinion. They'll be bowl eligible. I just don't know how deep they're going to be in the bowl, Joe.
I hear you. Well, let's talk about a team that had an unbelievable year, and we alluded to them earlier, Vandy under Clark Lea. Diego Pavia is gone, and with him, the gunslinging at quarterback. Now, they're going to go in a different direction. They brought in the number one pocket passer in new quarterback Jared Curtis. So it's a little bit of a difference here for Vandy because Pavia was all over the place. Once they hiked him the ball, you didn't know if he was going to run, pass. He was gunslinging it left and right. They're returning with linebacker Brian Longwell, but their schedule is a killer. They're at Auburn, at Georgia, Ole Miss, Arkansas, at Kentucky, at Mississippi State. They host Alabama, at Florida, and Tennessee. Another one where these bottom-level teams are the second tier in the SEC. Their schedules are just a killer, and that may keep Vandy on the sidelines. It's a different thing with the new quarterback, so we'll see how he does. May take another one where we might be seeing the beginnings of the future. But with Diego Pavia putting Vandy on the map, so to speak, where people were seeing them week after week in the highlights, this should help Clark Lea in the recruiting category going forward.
Listen, while we're talking about quarterbacks, I'm going to talk about a team that keeps their guy. Okay. Sandstorm, baby. The South Carolina Gamecocks. Beamer Ball is back, and with him, he brings Lenarius Sellers. Sellers is a stud. He just got sacked 43 times. If they can keep this guy standing up, he's got a big arm. He can run. He can do it all. He's a leader. 2 years ago, he was great. He's got the big-time target with Nick Harper back. Nitro Tuggle comes in for Purdue as well. They're going to be able to get the ball down the field. The O-line gave up 43 sacks. The O-line should be better. The O-line has to be better, or South Carolina will have a losing record again. The defense was already good. It wasn't the defense's fault. This was about the O-line last year. So if they can clean that up and Beamer does what he does on special teams, which is always amazing, I think South Carolina is going to be a bowl team this year. They're going to be real good. They're going to be a tough out. No one's going to want to go into Columbia. That's what I think right now, Joe.
Well, another team that I think is going to be with the bowl is the goal this year is Kentucky under new coach Will Stein, whose father, by the way, went to Kentucky, was at a defensive end there, and his mom went to Kentucky as well. The kid grew up as a fan of Kentucky, even though he went to Louisville for school. But he was the former Oregon offensive coordinator. So he goes from Bo Nix, Dylan Gabriel, and Dante Moore at quarterback to Kenny Minchie, the quarterback transfer from Notre Dame. So that's going to be a little different of a quarterback room for him. He has 23 new coaches on the staff and 36 new players. We talked about LSU bringing in 40 kids and trying to get them to gel, and LSU brought in the number one transfer class. So this guy's bringing in 36 new players. It's going to take – if they're in like the top 11 class. So these guys have got to gel. Bowl game is the goal. They're probably their best person that they brought in was an offensive tackle, Lance Hurd from Tennessee. September 12th, they go up against Alabama in an early game to see how they're going to go. But I think going from Bo Nix, Dylan Gabriel, and Dante Moore in your quarterback room to Kenny Minchie is going to be a real difference for Will Stein. But let's see how they do. Kentucky, I think the goal is a bowl game. And then eventually they could be like in Indiana where their alumni starts pumping into the NIL and all of a sudden we see Kentucky contending for a national championship. Maybe 4 or 5 years away, but anything is possible in this new era of college football.
Hail State. We got Mississippi State, the boys from Starkville. Is this the year Jeff Lebby gets this team bowling? That's what it comes down to. Kamario Taylor is back. This kid's a sophomore. He's 6'4", 230, big arm, great speed, great strength. He's as fun a quarterback as you're going to watch all year. You get a chance to watch Mississippi State. I'm telling you, put it on. Kamario Taylor, if he gets a little bit more accurate, and you expect he will after his freshman year, he's going to be a player. Fluff Bothwell back at running back, and that Fluff is really not who he is. He's a powerhouse, strong running back. Anthony Evans back at wide receiver with the Mizzou transfer, Marquise Johnson. Going to be great on the other side. O-line returns three starters. Depth was a real big problem. They just have to be better, okay? But the big addition on defense is they get Zach Arnett back. Zach took over when Rick Leach died, right? So he came in, won that bowl game. Then he coached the next year, and it was a disaster. He was a great D coordinator for Mississippi State. He really was. They were top five twice while he was the D coordinator there. They were awful against the run, better against the pass. They need to get a little bit more of a pass rush, a little bit more consistency. But if Zach Arnett can get this defense to play better, Kamario Taylor's going to put up enough points to win some games, and Mississippi State is going to go bowling. Hail State, Joe.
Well, Pig Suey. Pig Suey, we're going to close it down with the Arkansas Razorbacks. New head coach Ryan Silverfield from Memphis. He beat Arkansas last year when he was the Memphis coach, and he beat previously in bowl games West Virginia and Iowa State. So he's not akin to winning the games. He's got to improve this offense. Partially, they lost 70% of their offense this year. So they're coming in new. One of their new improved players, well, new player, Chris Marshall. But he had a lot of issues at Ole Miss and more issues at Boise State. So we'll see if he can keep everything clean and be on the up and up here for Arkansas. Then their schedule. They got Utah September 12th. That's not going to be a good game. Then they got Georgia, Texas A&M, Tennessee, Vandy, Missouri, Auburn, South Carolina, Texas, and LSU. Another team that is an SEC gauntlet. So I don't think we're going to be bowl eligible for Arkansas this year. I do think that they're gonna Silverfield's got a couple of years to build a winner, but he's got to start slowly. So this year, I don't see Arkansas getting out of last place in the SEC, I'll be honest. I think they're going to be the bottom team, and I don't see them making a bowl game. But I do think that they'll be set up for the future, but they are not going to be the team for this year, as far as I can see.
All right, Joe, we've covered everybody, right? The big teams early, a couple of the smaller teams late. If I had to say which of the seven bottom teams do you think has a shot to surprise the most, which one would you go with, Joe?
I'm going to say Auburn.
Okay. Is there something specific about it? Or you just think they were close last year and they can do what they already had to do?
I think they'll be okay. You know what? I think Alex Gulsh will do a good job at coach. With Byron Brown coming in, he's got a quarterback that knows how he is, and he knows how the quarterback is, which is a key thing. When the quarterback and the coach have confidence in each other in a relationship that's good, that usually bodes well for a team. So I think that'll be a chance. They do have four tough road games, but I do think that Auburn, out of those seven teams, has a good chance to make it.
Okay. So mine is going to be the South Carolina Gamecocks. Yeah, Kevin Ward, okay. The South Carolina Gamecocks. Bring the quarterback back. He could be a first-round pick. He could be a top-10 pick. Beamer usually finds a way to keep his team in games. The defense has been pretty good for Beamer the whole time he's been down there. If they can get the O-line to gel, I think South Carolina finds a way. Joe, is there a team on the top seven that you think is going to disappoint? The top nine, I should say, that you think is going to disappoint?
I hate to say it. I think it's going to be LSU. I think Lane Kiffin somewhere along the line is going to implode. And I think the pressure may, you know, he comes in with all the pomp and circumstance, but I think he's the team that they're the team most likely to implode and fall out in the top half of the SEC. So I could see LSU taking a nosedive.
Okay. I mean, listen, there's a couple teams I'd throw out there, okay? I don't think Ole Miss is going to make the tournament. I don't think they're going to make the playoff. And I think Texas is going to struggle more than people think. So there's a couple of teams that I sit there and I question. I'll say that Ole Miss will be my disappointment. I think Ole Miss ends up short of the playoff this year. I just think everything went right for them last year, and I think it'll be a little bit more challenging this year. Joe,
Who do you think then would come out? So if your SEC title game, who would it be right now?
Tennessee Georgia.
Wow. Wow.
How about you, Joe?
Wow. I was definitely going to have Georgia in there. I was going to say Georgia and Ole Miss. I don't know. I'm sold on Ole Miss.
I'm not sold on Golden yet. He's going to have to do it for me with his team. I saw him inherit another team. He did fine. Let me see if he can do it with his own players. Sometimes it's Steve Fisher and they fly right through. And sometimes it's Zach Arnett and they get fired the second year. So, we're going to find out which way it goes. Joe, give me your three bold predictions for this season in the SEC.
Okay. I like Trinidad Chambliss to win the Heisman Trophy. Might not be out on the end of the road, but I like Trinidad Chambliss to win the Heisman. I think Lane Kiffin gets the axe before the end of the season. I think he wears out his welcome in LSU, and I think he does get the axe before the end of the year. He's going to be gone from LSU. I have a feeling he's not going to make it there. And I do think that Vandy is not going to be as bad as everybody thinks. Even though I liked Auburn to move out, I think a lot of people think Vandy's going to go back to the bottom of the SEC, and I don't think that's the case.
For me, I think the bright orange is going to be better than the burnt orange. I think that Tennessee is going to have a very good year. I think the schedule plays well for them. That third Saturday in October is big against Alabama if they can get that one. They host Texas earlier in the year, the week before the Red River. A lot of, could be catching teams at the right time, put it that way. I think Mississippi State goes bowling. That's right. I'm wearing my Mississippi State shirt. I think Kamario Taylor is going to be fun. I think this team's going to go 7-5. I think they're going to go bowling. And like I said before, I think Ole Miss and LSU both disappoint. Neither make the playoff. I don't think Oklahoma does either. I'll say all three of those teams don't make the playoff right now. I'll say that Alabama does. I think Texas will. I think Texas A&M will. I think Tennessee will. And I think Georgia will. I think those are my five that are going to get into the playoff.
All right, let me ask you this. Do you think Kalen DeBoer is on the hot seat at all?
Yes. I think Kalen DeBoer brought a style to Alabama that they have not seen. It became a pass-happy team that does not run the ball. Alabama is about, grinding it out physical, defensively and offensively, playmakers all over the field on the defensive side of the ball, and we haven't seen it. I mean, you watched a couple of years ago, Jalen Milroe was basically kind of willing this team on his own.
Yeah.
Last year, Simpson had to do a similar thing. I mean, they need more playmakers. People are transferring out of Alabama. Imagine. I mean, what's going on here? Now, the thing is, Alabama could win the national title this year, or they could go 7-5 and we see the end of the Kalen DeBoer era. And they go back to someone that's a little bit more smash mouth because Alabama doesn't play the style of football. I know everybody's pass happy, but Alabama still has to rely on that power running game a little bit, in my opinion.
I that's why I'm thinking Kalen DeBoer, like what's the long-term prospects there? I mean, if they don't win this year, I mean, is it SEC championship game or he's definitely got to make the playoffs, right? If he doesn't make the playoffs. So.
Well, he won that playoff game, which bought him a little time against Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Now we got to find out what happens after that. The other question from you, Joe, is Georgia mature enough to play four quarters this year? Because they left everybody in games all season last year. They would play up and down to opponents, and they would not sit there and put anybody away. They wouldn't show up in first halves and have to have major comebacks in second halves. Georgia going to be good enough, Joe?
I think they are. I think Kirby Smart sat down with these guys and said, look, we got to get this train running. And I think Gunnar Stockton, another year under the belt, I think they understand. They don't want to be slinging the ball down the field, down two touchdowns and three touchdowns in the third quarter coming out of halftime. They had too much of that last year. So they do have to get on top of teams. Get an early lead and then just put the ball on the ground. They'll be in good shape. So I do think Georgia can do that. I think Kirby Smart's a good coach. He's got 10 years under his belt. So, and he's got those championships. So it's not like he doesn't know how to do it. It's just a matter of getting all these young guys on board with him. But I think Georgia's got a chance.
All right, Joe, any final thoughts before we wrap up the SEC preview here bowl games good. And brackets?
We're all good.
We're all good? Okay. This is our second episode of Bowl Games and Brackets. I can't even speak. Easy for me to say. Listen, we're going to be covering college football all season long, and then when college basketball starts, we're going to be doubling up on that too. We can't wait for you guys to listen to us. Follow us on social media. Tell us what you like. Tell us what you don't like. All the fun things we're going to be doing. We're going to be trying to do interviews, have all sorts of fun. But what we want you to do is listen. Join the revolution and keep your bracket sharp and your bowl dreams alive.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players' $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.